You are listening to the weekly podcast of City Church Orlando, located just off of 1792 at 650 Airport Boulevard in Sanford, Florida. Our website, orlandocitychurch.com. Today, Lead Pastor Eugene Smith will continue with our series called 50 Days to Fitness. Today, we will be focusing on fasting. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and He answered our prayer. When you sacrifice and fast, it truly will bring God's glory to protect you from the evil one. Our scripture text comes from Ezra chapter 8, starting in verse 23. Today's message is entitled, Fasting for Spiritual Breakthrough.
You have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Ezra chapter 8, Ezra chapter 8, verse number 23. And the Bible says, so we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and He answered our prayer. Let us pray. Father, I pray that in these next few moments, Lord, that as we learn the power, the tremendous power that there is in seeking after You, I pray today that there will be breakthroughs in the natural and in the spiritual. I thank You for every person that's here today. God, I thank You for Your amazing grace and Your kindness. We thank You for what You have already done in this service today. We thank You for the testimony of resurrection life. But God, I thank You for believers that are here today that have challenges and problems that only You can solve, because it brings us to a place of humility and recognition that we need You. We thank You, Lord, for even what You're doing in our economy, in our world, because it's causing us as a church to arise and to awaken to the spiritual reality that we need, not only for our personal lives, but our church and for this city, for a spiritual breakthrough. God, we ask this today, now open the hearts of Your people, every person that hears My voice, let their hearts be open to receive from You. I ask this now, Jesus, in Your mighty and awesome name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Webster's Dictionary from 1828 defines fasting as to abstain from food beyond the usual time, to omit or take usual meals for a time so as to speak or a week, to abstain from food voluntarily for the mortification of the body or for the appetites. I wrote this, fasting is the abstaining from food with a spiritual goal in mind. It is when I pursue the God of heaven to do something supernatural and powerful in and through my life. Fasting is the abstaining for food with a spiritual goal. Now, there are natural benefits. There are natural benefits to seeking out, to fasting the body. Almost every world religion practices fasting. The Muslims practice fasting. The Hindus practice fasting. Men for literally thousands of years have practiced this discipline of fasting. One of the most well-known Hindus that ever fasted in our generation was Mahatma Gandhi. He was known as a man who fasted. Now, we recognize that other religions do it, but as believers, there's something that happens in our life, in our heart, when we understand the dynamic of entering into a place of humility and brokenness before God and recognizing that without Him, we can do nothing. Every person in this room has a problem. Every person in this room has a challenge. Every person I've discovered in my life, like Paul said, I have a thorn in the flesh and I pleaded with God three times. You see, every person in this room has something in your life that's a reoccurring enemy. Every person has challenges. Some people have marriage challenges. Some people have financial challenges. Some people have challenges with anger, self-control, lust, all kinds of issues in our life. I find it very interesting today that what we've listed as addictions or as issues or behavioral complexities, the Bible simply calls sin. And sometimes I believe today in the church, we don't experience and see the power of God released in people's lives because as a corporate group of people, we're not really seeking. We're not really believing. We don't even believe it for ourselves. How could we believe it for someone else? This morning, I'm going to talk about the dynamic of spiritual fasting. And the text that we're going to use is found in Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. I want you to turn there with me this morning. I'm going to read out of the New King James Version, and we're going to read verses, Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through verses 8. And the Bible says, is this not the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bounds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you may break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Why do we need to fast today in this generation? Some people have so bought into this myth of this super grace, and I believe in super grace, abundant grace, but they basically believe that because of God's grace, it's kind of like a license to sin. Doesn't really matter what we do, because whatever we do, God's grace is going to cover it, we're going to make it, and we're going to be all right. And it's a wrong understanding of the amazing grace of God and what Christ did on Calvary's cross. I mean, the grace of God, I'm at this age of my life now, I'm just literally astonished. I'm amazed at His radical grace, not only to me, but into the lives of people that I see. I don't think we can talk about the grace of God enough. But the grace of God, Paul said, the goodness of God and the grace of God leads us to a changed life. And if there's not change and there's not a hunger in our spiritual life, then I got to really question if grace is working or an operation in our life. You know, this challenge that we face in the church today when we look at natural problems and we become stressed out and we become overcome with fear or with worry, I've discovered is a direct result of not understanding the amazing grace of God in my own life. The creator of Avatar yesterday on Google News, I don't know what he said, but he was quoted as saying, he said, "Failure is okay. Fear is not an option." I thought, well, that's really interesting. Here's a guy that's created this movie that I haven't seen yet. Not sure I'll see my boys say it's the greatest movie that's come out since sliced cheese, but I haven't seen it yet. But this creator, this guy who obviously is a genius, this guy who has an incredible mind to create, isn't worried about failure. But what he's concerned about is fear. And what I've discovered is one of the greatest tools against you and your Christian life that the enemy will bring is fear. He'll keep you paralyzed. He'll keep you trapped. It's what keeps people from coming into the kingdom. They see Christians. I don't know. They're afraid of what might happen or the change that might take place. I've heard people say that they're afraid to really give their life completely to Christ because, you know, He might ask them to do something they don't want to do. And what they don't understand is that God's amazing grace not only changes your heart, but He puts you on the path of the things that you're supposed to do that bring life and bring life more abundantly. As I begin to really process in my heart this week, as we were talking in our class about detoxing and about cleansing our physical bodies and realize, wow, you know, the groundwater's polluted, the food's polluted, the air's polluted. I asked the question to my group, how then shall we live? I mean, how then shall we live? Well, one, I can tell you today, we don't live in fear. We live by grace. We live by grace. And in order for us to understand the power and the potential that God has for us today, we must know that He is a God who breaks through all of our enemies. Everyone say all. Come on, everyone say all. King David, when he was confronted generations ago, over 3,000 years ago, David faced an impossibility. He faced lots of impossibilities in his lifetime. But the thing that touched the heart of God the most about David is that even though when he stumbled, even when he fell, he never gave up. He never quit. People think, well, David just had it all figured out. He just had a touch on his life, and he never, once he got anointed at the age of 17, it all just came easy. No way. David ran from Solomon. David hid in caves. David fasted. And as a matter of fact, one time when the Amorites came against David and they totally outnumbered he and his soldiers, the Bible says that David entreated God. He beseeched God like Ezekiel and Ezra and Jeremiah and Isaiah and Moses and Jesus and Peter, James and Paul, like all the great men and women of old sought God with prayer and fasting and abstaining from food because he needed an answer from heaven. And he said, God, I'm not going to go out and fight this battle. I'm not going to go out and take this mountain. I'm not going to go out and pursue this enemy unless you go before me. And the Bible says that after David fasted and prayed, the Lord spoke to him. How he spoke to him, we don't know. Did he speak to his spirit? Did he speak through a prophet? Did he speak to the Old Testament priest? We're not quite sure. The Bible says that God spoke to him and said, David, I am the God of breakthrough. I am God Bel-Perazim, the God who breaks through your enemy's gates. Let me tell you today, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What God did for David, God wants to do for you. You see, he's the God who brings breakthrough in our life and in our generation. You see, there's a spiritual complacency in the church today to think that a professional few will take care of all the prayer and all the fasting. Last Sunday, I was so fired up. I was that third service, man. We were third service. It's a pretty good turnout here for first service. 8:30, give yourself a big hand for being here this morning. I'm proud of you coming at 8:30. What an awesome group of people. Third service at 11:30. I mean, I didn't know what to think, you know, and God is just moving. And I got a little more freedom to preach a little longer. And man, God is moving in that service in a powerful way. It's just awesome. It's really cool. But I would say, where are the men? Where are the men of City Church? Where are the men who will stand up and fight? Where are David's mighty men? Well, where are they at? They're sitting in the seats right here today. That's who you are, men. God has called you to be the spiritual leaders, not only in your home, but in this church and in this city. You see, this city will experience a change, a supernatural change and move of God when the people of God take prayer and fasting seriously. I've been a student of church history since I've been a Christian. I've studied church history. I've studied the foundations of the church, the Catholic Church and the Protestant Reformation. I've looked at every revival. I've done series on revivals throughout not only American history, but world history. And I will tell you, every move of God has been preceded by a person who was willing to sacrifice, a person who was willing to abstain, a person who was willing to focus on the mission and the command of Christ to make disciples. And when one person was willing to stand up and count the cost and lead the way, others followed. I want you to know today, I'm willing. I'm desiring a move of God. What I saw happen yesterday in the membership class and what I saw happen last night in the prayer meeting, it was so awesome and so incredible. And this morning, watching people get baptized and just seeing a spiritual hunger among a group of people, it gives me hope today. You see, it gives me hope that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap this morning. We've drunk the Kool-Aid. We watch too much TV. I mean, you know, I don't want to start. I never want to be a clothesline preacher because it never works. But the reality is we are distracted by busyness, by concerns of this world, by all kinds of things. And no matter where we are in our lives, we will never be satisfied. We will never be fulfilled until we are completing the mission that Christ has called us to. One of the awesome things, one of the great privileges that I have as a pastor is to see things from a different perspective. You see, you see things from that perspective. I see things from this perspective. And what I see from this perspective is I see people who have come into this church who had no inclination, no understanding about their spiritual gifts, how God wanted to use them. I've seen people come into this church who didn't realize they had a leadership gift deposited in them. And I've seen it begin to grow and blossom as they've led other people. I've seen transformation in human hearts as I watched this young couple over here who were helping with the baptismal canonists just a couple of years ago themselves going into the pool of baptism and now teaching and leading others about the purposes and the commands of Christ. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap this morning. All throughout the Bible. When you want just a few examples, Jesus fasted. Jesus fasted for 40 days. As a matter of fact, when the religious people who had been common practicers of fasting, as a matter of fact, in Jesus' day, the religious, the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious Jewish people, they fasted twice a week. But when they fasted, they let everybody know. They were like, kind of like our guy there, Harold, you know, wanted everybody to know that he was fasting. He said, hey, guys, he says, if you do this in secret, your heavenly Father who sees you in the secret place will reward you openly. Jesus had great power, spiritual victory. You have a long-term problem. You have a challenge. You know, whatever psychological or behavioral term you want to put on it, I want you to know today, many times, bondages and addictions are only broken through prayer and through fasting. Now, I understand there's counseling and there's process, and we thank God for all that. But I want you to know we minimize the power of the Holy Spirit today in the Church of Jesus Christ. We minimize the power of the resurrected Christ. Jesus said, I've come to set the captives free. I've come to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted. And I've come to declare and proclaim liberty, freedom to those who've been held captive. Don't kid yourself, guys. I believe today. I told someone this week, everything they need is in the cross. Everything you need is in the power of Jesus. It's in Christ alone. We used to sing that hymn. Maybe we should sing more hymns today, because so many songs today, they're so powerless. The hymn simply declared, in Christ alone, I found my strength. You see, it's in Christ alone today that we find delivering resurrection power. When Moses, who was, man, guys, he made mistakes. He failed God. But when he was in the wilderness, he encountered the living God. And there God came to him. You see, that's amazing grace, Roger. God pursued you. You didn't pursue him. I want you to know today, Dan, it wasn't your good looks that brought you into the kingdom. It was God that pursued your life and your heart today. Kenny, I want you to know it was the mercy of God that drew you unto himself and led you into a life of freedom and victory and enables you to reach out and to be a blessing to others. Today, I want you to know it was the grace of God that came to Moses. And the Bible says that Moses set aside a time. He didn't know what was going to happen. God called him out to go to a mountain for 40 days without food or without water. Now, that's supernatural. Don't do that, folks. I got a whole list of things. I don't know if I put those little medical recommendations there. But listen, before you fast, you know, make sure you go to the doctor. I just went to the doc, so I got a clean bell of health. I can fast. But make sure, man, you know, if you're diabetes or you got, you know, hyperglycemia or some of these things, you know, consult, get some wisdom, and read some books on fasting. This week, by the end of this week, we're going to challenge you to at least fast. Every person here fast at least a day. But Moses sought God. He got direct revelation from God. God spoke to Moses. We got the Big Ten because Moses humbled himself and allowed God to speak to him face to face. Moses did it twice, 40 days, 80 days he fasted without food and water. Elijah, after a great victory, sunk into depression. He sunk into total depression, ready to quit, hated life, just ready to die. Ask God to take him home. Oh, God, my life's so hard. Take me home, God. The Bible says that God came to him. God came to Elijah. And without food or water, God began to speak to him and begin to minister to him. God bring life, resurrection power, resurrection life, Old Testament life. Reality of God that came in a still small voice, not in the great big thunder, not in the shaking of the mountains, but in that still small voice. And see, guys, sometimes we can't hear God because we're not quiet enough. We don't take time to be with God. One of the things that I will tell you that happens when you start to really make this discipline part of your life, when you make this discipline a part of your life, I mean, first couple of days, all these toxins start coming out of your body, and you're not going to go to hell, but you feel like it. You know what I'm talking about? You just feel bad because stuff's coming out of you, pollutants and toxins, and you're feeling bad. But as you're drinking water, maybe you're on a Daniel fast and you're drinking a little juice, and you just, you know, God's grace is there. After about 3 days, usually the first 2 days, if you're doing a long fast, first couple of days, wow. I mean, first couple of days hard, but you start to enter into a grace, and there's a presence and a reality in a sense. And what I found that over the years that I've done this, this church is a result of prayer and fasting. I don't want to tell you how many days, but I fasted for many, many days. I fasted for a long period of time over many years before we ever started this church. The first 4 years of this church, once a month, the whole staff fasted for 3 days. And every week, I fasted at least once or twice. And you know, some of those habits and disciplines over the years, they tend to fall off. But I just believe it's a new season at City Church. It's a new season in my life. I'm a new man. I just sense it. I feel it. Like God's calling us to return to the basics, to the disciplines that build greatness in God's kingdom, which are humility and brokenness and seeking and asking and praying and believing and faith and love and hope and generosity and goodness and mercy. You see, the world's had enough of a church that's broken and has no power. The world is looking for a people. They might not understand it. People come in here, someone told me this week, they brought their husband, and he'd never been into this kind of church before. He was blown away. Told like, what are they doing? What are they doing? It was overwhelming. But he's still coming. 5 months later, still coming. I sense love here. He didn't sense anyplace else. He sensed the grace of God and the acceptance and the forgiveness of Christ. You see, when we begin to worship God, the Bible says when we get to make Him the number one priority, all these other things, His kingdom is going to come. This city is going to be blessed. I walked in here on a Wednesday night 2 weeks ago. This room was packed out with young people. And God was, it was such a powerful move of God in this place on a Wednesday. And I was like, wow, unbelievable. And I went and visited a woman this week who had a surgery. And she was telling me about her 13-year-old daughter that's in the youth group. And she said, my daughter got there. And she started speaking in tongues. And she started prophesying. And she's on Facebook. And she's writing these prophecies on Facebook. And there's a supernatural move of God. The gifts of the Spirit are being poured out. Why? There's a hunger. There's a thirst. There's a desire among some. There's a desire among some. I told Dave today, I said, I want you to get every single person who signed a membership card. We're going to start with the members, and then we're going to go to the attenders. So the members are going to know our staff is praying for you this week. We're going to pray for your home. We're going to pray blessing over your family. We're going to pray the kingdom of God come. We're going to pray deliverance and victory over long-term problems and struggles. We're going to pray for financial breakthrough. We're going to pray for spiritual breakthrough. We're going to pray for you. We're going to be intentional. We're going to be really intentional in our prayer. And as we enter this week and this coming Saturday night at 5:30, we're going to do a night of mega prayer and praise. And we're going to anoint every single person that comes. Last night we kind of did a precursor and it was just awesome. It was awesome. We're going to anoint every leader. I'm challenging every leader. You're on the advisory team. You're a Sunday school teacher. You're an altar worker. You're an usher worker. You're a greeter. You're on the praise and worship. There's no excuses. Listen, if this church is going to win, this 8:30 crowd, you're the chosen. You are the chosen. You got up, you got up there early, probably before the sun came up this morning. You are chosen of God. And I'm challenging us this one time a year to step out. Step out. Let's see what God will do when a church comes together after a week of seeking, after a week of asking, after a week of knocking, after a week of praying and calling on God. All throughout the Bible. Daniel fasted. Esther, her nation was in crisis. You know, I found as I was researching this, three times in American history, we've had presidents who've called this nation to a day of fasting and prayer. And it's since 1952 when Dwight Eisenhower made it a public proclamation that we would have a national day of prayer and humility. Every president since then has done it. Every president since then. But three presidents in particular stand out in my mind. First was John Adams. John Adams, when we were about to enter into war with France in 1782, he called this nation. He realized that the foundations of this nation were very weak. We had been in a long battle. We were still fighting. As a matter of fact, we were still fighting the British. I mean, we had declared revolution, but there was not freedom yet. There was fighting and battles taking place. John Adams called this nation to fasting and prayer. Abraham Lincoln in 1863 said, we need God in this nation, and literally made a public declaration, a proclamation that we would humble ourselves and beseech the living God, not just the God of nature, but he called them Almighty God. And he asked that God would have mercy through the prayers and fasting of his people. He could see what was happening as we were about to enter, which he didn't know would be the most bloody war that had ever taken place on the soil of this great nation. And then in 1952, I don't know what was happening in Dwight Eisenhower's life, but something in him realized that there was a need to make a public proclamation. A public proclamation. Esther, when the children of Israel were about to be destroyed, the Bible says that she told Mordecai, her uncle, you go tell the Jewish leaders, 3 days, no food, no water, and I'm going to prepare myself to go and see the king. Let me tell you today, when you do something like this, when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, I don't care how big your problem is, this woman represented one nation that was about to be wiped off of the face of the map. One person was willing to stand in the gap and stand up and be accounted. And when Mordecai had told the elders, they all said, "You're on it. We're going to do it." They could see imminent doom coming in their life. I don't know about you guys, man, but I'm ready for breakthrough. I'm ready for a supernatural touch of God in my life. Come on, someone give the Lord a hand clap. One woman and the people were spared. Nehemiah, broken at the condition, saw the captivity of the people and a few stragglers that made their way out from captivity and ended up in the city of Jerusalem. It was all broken down. There was addictions that ran rampant. There was businessmen that were askew. There was prostitution on the streets. There was gambling on every street corner. People buying lottery tickets. There was alcoholism and drug addiction and open pornography on the internet. There was all kinds of gunk and garbage and junk in their culture and their society. And the people were broke. They were busted. They had no hope. But one man by the name of Nehemiah humbled himself and he began to call upon God. God, he said, "Forgive me." He didn't say, "God, forgive the people first." He didn't say, "Oh, those ignorant people." He didn't blast the people and say, "Those carnal, unbelieving, wicked people." No, he said, "God, forgive me for my wickedness. God, cleanse my heart. God, change me." And then he began to cry out for mercy on behalf of the people. And from that moment, something supernatural happened. The people all of a sudden had an awakening. There was a spiritual awakening among the Jewish people. And within 52 days, walls rebuilt in the city of Jerusalem. One of the greatest, most astonishing feats that happens, I mean, in the Bible. It's amazing. These guys came together, people who had been scattered, people who had been broken down, who had no hope, all of a sudden rose up and said, "Yes, we can. Yes, we can." You see, this morning, God gives victory. When we fast, we humble ourselves, and what we're saying to our flesh is, "You're not going to be my master." Number one God in America's food. Number one God in America's food. We eat way too much food. We eat way too much food. We're way too big. 80% of deaths are premature in this nation, and they're a direct result of behavioral choices. No doubt, guys. I'm not picking on anybody here. I want to give you some positive benefits. I want to give you some positive benefits. I don't want to beat anyone down. I just want you to know we need to break this God in our life. It's a God literally of just doing whatever we want to do. It's a God of the senses. If it feels good to me, I'm going to do it. If it tastes good to me, I'm going to do it. If it looks good to me, I'm going to do it. And the Bible says it's flesh, it's carnal, it's worldly. Paul said all things are permissible. Very clearly, he talks about this whole era of eating and drinking and meeting and meat and all these kinds of things. He said, everything's permissible, guys, but I want you to know, nothing is going to master me. Nothing's going to win. Not sexual sins, not immorality, not gluttony, not lust, not bondage, nothing is going to master me. You see, we're to rule our spirits. We're to dominate our flesh. The challenge is that flesh keeps wanting to dominate us. It died on Calvary's tree. But something in us, like Eve, is drawn back to temptation. And we just kind of go through life glibly. And you know, we're okay. We don't have that problem. We got, you know, we'll work it out. I'm thinking, my God, what about a city? You see, what happens when an individual gets changed? Then they're like Eric and Quigley over here, 18, 19-year-old men who got all over their cars. I don't know if they still got it, but yesterday I pulled up to the church and they had some kind of red shoe polish all over their church. The mission statement of City Church, bringing God's love to the city, and City Church name, and then the phone number, and then our Connect 4 logo. They had it written all over the car. Christina said, "Come on, Pastor, why'd you go out and do that to your car?" I said, "You do it first." I mean, that's what happens when your heart's ablaze and afire for God. You want everybody to know. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap in this place. You got emotional problems. You have physical problems. You see, Isaiah declared, listen to me. He said, fasting God's way brings freedom from addictions. It will loose bands. There are men who struggle with issues, and we have classes and programs, and they still struggle. We go through encounters, and we still have struggles. I want you to know today, there's hope, men. There's freedom in Christ. If you make serious the kingdom of God and make it your number one priority, He'll hear your cry. He'll hear your brokenness. He'll hear your desperation. And the Bible declares that He will loose the bands of wickedness off of your life. He'll break them. I want you, He's a God, a breakthrough today. He hasn't forgotten you. Women, there's a hole in your heart. You want a man. Oh, you want a man. You want somebody to fill that love. You want somebody to fill that need. I want you to know there is a man. His name is Jesus. He died 2,000 years ago, but He rose from the dead. And everything we have need of today is found in Him. Young person, your answer is Christ. Old person, your answer is it's a first grade Sunday school question. What's the answer? Jesus. Jesus is your answer today. He's the one who's come to loose the bands of wickedness. The second, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Fasting God's way solves personal and corporate problems. It'll solve personal and corporate problems in our home, in our families, in our churches. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. God wants breakthrough in our lives. God wants spiritual change in our homes and in our families. Today, as we seek after God this week, I'm believing that there's going to be reversals. I'm believing this week as our staff and our team prays over you, prays for your family, and as we come into an agreement with your prayers and with your seeking, you're going to receive answers from God. Fasting God's way brings revival and soul winning in a church. The Bible says that He declared that He would let the oppressed go free. The amazing thing about Jesus' ministry, the Bible says in the book of Acts that everywhere that Jesus went, He went around doing good and He healed all who were oppressed. Guys, we're so oppressed in our nation. We take so many drugs for oppression, so many legal prescriptions. We take Zoloft and Zantac and prescription pills for all kinds of things. And Jesus said, I've come to give you freedom. Okay, and I know some people, you know, serotonin levels and all that kind of stuff, but let me tell you, I'm telling you today, there's a solution. There's an answer. The world is looking for a church that has the presence of God actively working in it, that we're telling people the truth. We're not here to hurt people. We're here to help people. We're here to bless people. We're here to do good. A church that's on fire will win people to Christ. Fasting God's way will conquer mental and emotional problems. It'll meet the physical needs of others. Isaiah said that we would share our food. We would give our food to others. Maybe you fast one day this week and the food that you would spend for yourself, you would give to someone else in need. Maybe you would give it to a food bank. Maybe you know someone that needs a job right now and needs money for food. You would take one day. Isaiah said if we're really spiritual, if we really think we're spiritual, one day we would fast. And our fasting then would be so that we could share our food with others. See, it's a true, genuine sign that we're pursuing after God. Finally, I want you to know this morning, fasting will bring God's glory to protect us from the evil one. And verse 8, it says, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Paul said it like this, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than every devil of hell. He's bigger than the devil himself. God is bigger than every problem. God is bigger than every addiction. God is bigger than every marriage problem. He's bigger. He's so big. I can't make Him big enough for you today, but He's awesome. He's incredible. His mercy endures forever. His grace is astounding. He's full of mercy and compassion and everlasting love. And as we seek Him as a congregation, as we seek Him for our own personal lives, as we seek Him for spiritual blessing in our families, and for corporate revival in our church this week, we're going to end this Saturday night, which is literally the sixth day, would be the Sabbath. We're going to finish with a night of prayer and with a night of praise. And the team here, we're going to anoint every family, every person that comes, and we're going to pray over your home. We're going to bless your family. We're going to bless you. I'd get them here. I'm already geared up. I'm already fired up. I've been working on this since the first of the year. I've been seeking after God diligently. I'm hungry. I want to move a God in this church. God spoke to my heart last year. God just clearly spoke in prayer. He said it's not going to be as hard this year as it was last year. Listen, I believe it, God. I'm going out on a limb here. I'm stating it publicly. God just spoke to my heart. It's not going to be hard. It's hard this year as it was last year, but it's going to be a direct result to the fulfillment of this word that God's going to be our rear guard. That no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That every tongue that rises up against me shall be condemned, because we are the servants of the Most High God. Come on, give Him a praise.
Thanks for listening to this message, Fasting for Spiritual Breakthrough with Lead Pastor Eugene Smith. For service times and more information about City Church Orlando, please visit our website anytime at orlandocitychurch.com or call 407-321-9600.